Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I have my co-host.
Well, good evening, Dr. Val. It is so good to be with you and our audience today on this beautiful day right here in the midst of this great month of October. And I'm enjoying the change that I'm feeling in the weather. I think fall is on its way.
I'm so excited. I love this weather. Last week, I was in South Carolina. My aunt passed away, and the weather was like nice during the day. And then at night, it got a little crispy. I was like, winter is coming.
Yes, yes.
And you know, Alma, I'm celebrating my birthday. It was October 4th. So I am celebrating, and every October I celebrate my birthday by doing my annual fundraising. Usually before the pandemic, I would have this huge event every year to raise funds for my nonprofit. So those of you that follow me, you can still give to my nonprofit, the Soul of a Woman Foundation, and you can go to the website from thesoulofawoman.com. Or you can cash app me at $ Valerie N. Parker to give to the Soul of a Woman Foundation. So I'm so excited about the work my nonprofit is doing as it relates to domestic violence. Now, Dr. J, you have a nonprofit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Destiny by Choice is our nonprofit. And of course, where we're empowering lives, shaping destinies of those impacted by domestic violence, fatherlessness, and all these other social determinants that impact our community. And like yourself, we're always trying to make a difference through our education platform or supporting families, survivors, victims of abuse, but even more so, concentrate on how can we engage new allies in this fight against domestic violence, including places like the faith community, municipalities, different organizations, whether they be fraternities or sororities. It's a fact that we all need to be a part of it. And we're just glad they can find us at jrficklin.com.
Thank you so much for that, Dr. J. You know, the purpose of Hot Topics from the Soul is to be a lifeline to the community, to bring information. We know that October is Domestic Violence Month, but it is also Cancer Awareness Month. And we have a special guest that will be joining us tonight, and I'm so excited about her. And she is a survivor, and we want her to share her story. Her name is Carla Mingo. Carla, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Thank you guys for having me today.
You know, one of the things that people dread is that big C word. You know, you go to the doctor and you're not feeling well, or you're just going for your annual, and then you get the test results back. They're like, oh, you need to come into the office. And then you're thinking, oh, well, what is it? Okay, I'm pre-diabetic. My cholesterol is high. You know, but then they bring up the fact that you have cancer. So, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, Carla.
So I was diagnosed with breast cancer in February 2017. I discovered the lump myself, and I thought it was nothing. And I said, you know, it's probably nothing. Things like this, they don't happen to me. Like, that's someone else. But I went ahead and got my mammogram, and I had to have a biopsy, and then they told me it was cancer. And it was just such a numbing experience for me, because I was at work when the doctor called, and I answered the phone, and she told me, and I went to my office, and I just sat there like in disbelief. I couldn't even believe it. And so it was a journey after that.
So when they called you and said that you had cancer, you said that you felt the lump yourself and you went to have the test. But when they called you, you didn't anticipate them saying anything negative.
No, I didn't. I just figured it would be, you know, something else, or it would be fine. Or like I said, my life in that moment was like perfect. I was engaged to be married. I was going to be getting married in May. We already had planned our honeymoon to Hawaii. everything was great in my life. So I'm like, no, no way. Cancer? No, it couldn't be. Not right now. Mm-hmm. I got too many things I'm doing right now. I can't deal with that. So I was in shock.
Okay, so can you walk out that experience? So you said you were engaged at that time. So when you told your fiance at the time, what did he say?
So my husband now, fiance then, he was so supportive and told me, hey, we're going to get through it. It's not going to, you know, hey, we're going to do what we have to do. Because in that moment, I went from being a fiance to getting married to, am I going to survive this? Mm-hmm. You know, and what's, I don't even know what's going to happen. It was just a whirlwind for me. But what I decided to do is decide to just take it head on. And I decided that I was going to win no matter what. And so I quickly went from that fear to that, God, I trust you. I'm going to let you guide my steps and I am going to win regardless of which way it goes. I'm going to trust you. And a lot of people find it hard to believe that I really was at this place, but I really became comfortable with if this was not going to turn out well for me. I said that even if I die from this disease, that I am still going to win. I had to have that attitude. And my attitude was that I would still win because people would see how I handled it. They will see my faith. They will see my example. And that was something that people would always say. She was strong. She was, you know, handled it well. And I just felt like I was going to be a winner. I couldn't see a defeat in this situation at all. And I continued to speak positively about my situation. So yeah, my faith in God is what got me through this.
So how important is it to have a good support base?
So it is everything, because even though I felt strong, there were days where my faith maybe wavered a little bit, but my church was supportive. My mother was supportive, and my husband, and I did not have people around me that spoke negatively. Everybody around me would uplift me and they would be positive. And I did not tell anyone outside of my family. I didn't tell my coworkers because I did not want everybody at my job, oh my gosh, she has, and at first I couldn't even say cancer. I would always say the C word because I couldn't even say the word cancer at all. And so I didn't want to tell just random people. So I kept it to myself and surrounded myself with those positive people.
You know, you said something that's so important. Your discovery was self-examination. And I know that that is something that we encourage women to do. The age has changed over the years as far as when they said the self, breast self-examination that used to be at one time, you know, it was just under 40. But now I think it's like even 36 years old. They're telling women to do self-examination because, you know, like anything, the earlier we catch it, the more possibilities of what interventions can happen. But I want to piggyback on something that you said that I think is so paramount, is that you understood the importance of the right attitude, because attitude will determine altitude in these type of tragedies. And I love what you said. You kept speaking positive things around you. Everything around you was positive because that's important. Many people hear the C word, you know, whether it's breast cancer, whether it's prostate cancer, whatever it is. And the moment they hear it, they go into this tailspin and it's so fearful to them that literally their thought patterns totally change. And what happened, they begin to live out anxiety and they begin to become very worried. And so we know whatever we nurture, that's what grows. So we, you know, so if we nurture that fear, it grows. But you took on an attitude, which I'm hoping everyone that will see this and listen will take on. Your attitude was, I'm going to win. No matter how it grows, I'm going to win. Now, that is such a powerful strategy because of the fact you started with your thought, you know, so a man thinketh, so is he, or so they become. And so you started with that strategy. I think the part as a man, you know, to think here it is, I'm engaged to get married, and then my fiance tells me that she has breast cancer. it kind of changes in my mind what future plans we had. But it sounds like, you know, you guys hooked up on your faith and you're hooked up saying we're going to make this thing no matter what. We're going to get through this together. And we're seeing the thriving. We're seeing that you're going on. And truly, you now have a message. You now have a testimony. You're now that very thing that you thought that you would be. I will be an example. When they see the way that I handle this, and I say kudos to you, because it doesn't have to be a death sentence. Death begins here in our mind. Then it translates on to other things about it. And I salute you. I don't know how many years it's been now, but just thank God that you're still going.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It has really turned my life around. It actually has helped me find my purpose in life.
Yes.
And, you know, my treatment was, you know, I did get a bilateral mastectomy. Mm-hmm. And I discussed that with my fiance before I made that decision, because I had the option and I needed to know how he felt about that, because
he's
a man. And so he said, do what we got to do. We don't want to have to deal with this in the future. You know,
that's why you knew you needed to marry him, because it was true love. He didn't look at the exterior. He was focused on the interior.
Right. That's right. That's right. He didn't care about it at all. And so, yes.
That's an awesome story. I understand you have a book.
Yes. So after I got my double mastectomy and then was going to get a reconstruction and going through all these surgeries, cancel my honeymoon, we decided to go ahead and get married anyway in the midst of all of this. So we got married in June. My surgery was in April. And in June, because I kept wanting to wait and put it off and like, no, I just, because I didn't feel beautiful without my breast. And I hadn't had the reconstruction, but someone told me, they said, you know what, if you love that man, you marry him. There's not going to be a perfect time. So in June, we went ahead and just planned a quick wedding. I was beautiful in my dress. No one knew that I still was in between mastectomy and reconstruction. Yes. So I got married without having everything most women would have. And that was a challenge for me, but I married the man that I loved. And so through that, after that thing happened, I had a lot of trials that started hitting me back to back. Lost my best friend, lost my job coming out of this surgery. So many things happened. It took me down to my knees. And I really was like, God, what is it that you want me to do? Like, he just took me all the way down. And he said, you need to share your story. You need to talk and tell people, because I'm a very shy person. So I decided to write this book, and it's called Peace, Passion, and Purpose, Making Your Life Lessons Your Blessings. And the basic reason I wrote the book is for people to learn how to take every single trial or challenge that comes their way, turn it into good, make it positive. And I was determined that, you know, this cancer was not going to define me, and I was going to make it better for other people. And so I wrote the book to share my story.
Well, your story is definitely encouraging me, because it's like the last few years, every time I go to have my mammogram, they always call me or send me a note saying I need to come back because they saw something, and then I have to get further testing. And each time they do it, I'm like, oh. It's like I stop breathing when they telling me on the phone, I stop breathing. And it's something how, you know, I can intervene and pray for someone else. But when the word comes at me, it's like I would just freeze. And the only thing I thought to do is tell my husband what they said. And you know what he said to me? Well, whatever it is, we'll get through it. You know? That's so powerful to have somebody that's standing with you when you're not able to stand for yourself and say, whatever it is, I got you. We're going to get through it.
Yes, absolutely. That's a true testimony of who you have in your life when you're going through those trials.
Yes, absolutely. Hold up a minute. Carla, we're going to get back to you if you stay in studio, because we have a senior advocate from Cancer Centers of America, and we're going to bring her on. Her name is Sheila Hardington, so I'm going to bring her on, and then we'll bring you back on so that we can talk further with you regarding your story. So, Sheila, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much.
Sheila Hardigan, you're with Cancer Center Treatments of America. You're a senior advocate. Tell us about your position and what it is you do.
Okay. Well, I've been a senior oncology information specialist here at Cancer Treatment Centers of America for over 12 years, and I'm currently part of our community engagement outreach team. So, our mission right now is to help work with cancer fighters, providing them support, encourage them to share their story so that they may touch other lives, just like Carla, and inspire others, you know, to seek another opinion in an effort to help others realize, you know, what all their options are, and basically empowering people with knowledge to, you know, fight for their life, but also know there's options out there for them.
Now, we all heard that cancer doesn't discriminate. It can affect anybody at any time. Doesn't matter of your social economic status. You know, anybody can get it. It can develop it in their bodies. I understand that we all have cancer cells, and it just metastasizes in different people's bodies differently. So can you clarify that and shed some light on that?
Well, we all do have cancer cells in our body. It's just a matter of when and if they become active. So there's a lot of preventive. That's why preventive is so important. Genetics plays a role. There's so many things that do play a role. Free radicals. There's a lot of things that could cause cancer to become prominent or active, I guess I should say.
You spoke about foods. Is there a diet that we should take even prior to developing a metastasized cancerous cell that would ultimately take our lives? Is there something that we can do to be proactive?
Absolutely. You know, we can't control everything, obviously, but, you know, even the healthiest people can get diagnosed with cancer. But the healthier you are, the stronger you will be to fight it. As far as, you know, what we do at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, we realize, our founder realized the importance of getting, you know, having integrative care. Our founder was inspired by his own mother's cancer journey, seeking the most effective cancer care treatments with supportive care options designed to enhance quality of life. And it didn't exist. So that's why back in 1988, he created the first whole person treatment center. So that brings in, you know, nutrition, naturopathic care, those all play a role in it. And even, you know, your whole mind, body, spirit plays a big role. Just like with Carla, what she said, you know, you do want to make sure there's ways to load up on fruits and vegetables. You know, those are things of part of being preventive. Lifestyle changes can improve your daily health, but also rewrite your future health and prevent diseases like cancer.
You said something just a few minutes ago that I thought was so important. And you talked about the individuals that come to the Cancer Treatment Center, how you encourage them to tell their stories, because their stories serve as a source of inspiration and hope for others. Is that something that happens over a period of time, you know, their time coming, that they develop that courage or that ability or that even desire to tell that story? Because I can only imagine when many come down with cancer, there is a sense of fear. There is a sense of, you know, the unknown there. And, you know, most people don't like talking about it at first, but how do they kind of get from that stage to the point where they now are willing to talk about their sharing their story? Because I know support groups are amazing. I mean, it's something about being able to identify with someone who is sharing in something that you have. But is that just part of the Cancer City Centers of America? Is that part of your regimen? Is that something that you guys work on? You know, is there an entry level? You know, the new people who just came in, and I mean, how does that work? Because I've looked at people who are cancer survivors, and I always have seen them as being so incredibly strong. It is amazing when I see the attitude of so many. But
the resilience.
The resilience. Is it taught or is it caught or what happens?
Good question. You know, everybody handles their diagnosis differently. There are no two patients alike. And I'll just give an example. I have both of my sisters fought and beat cancer, my own mother, and they all handled it differently, okay? So everybody does handle it differently, but with our cancer fighters, what we do is, you know, even we have cancer fighters that come in laughing and full of joy and sharing their joy because they're in a good place. They know they're getting, you know, quality care, but they also want to share, kind of like Carla, they want to share that they are, they're in a good place. They trust in God. You know, cancer tries to steal hope. However, God is the source of hope. And through faith, we can find strength and hope in Him. And a lot of our cancer fighters, you know, believe in that. And they're getting, you know, the best clinical advances. But as far as the our fighters, it's up to them, you know, if they choose to share their story. Some want to and some prefer not to. So we just encourage them and give them the support that each individual needs.
That's awesome. So how can individuals that are going through cancer right now connect with your center? Because some of them, when people are diagnosed, they're going to their doctor. But tell us the difference between the Cancer Center Treatments of America versus them, you know, doing it directly with their doctor's office.
Well, you know, it all starts in your doctor's office. And, you know, this is what's really powerful is, and I think it's something that we all have to remember that, you know, anytime you're diagnosed with something as big as cancer, you need to be empowered with knowledge and know what your options are. So, you know, you don't have to just settle on one, and that's where knowledge is power. And then you can make your own informed decision. And we encourage people to do that. You know, they can call us at cancercenter.com or go to our website, cancercenter.com. I can put that in the notes here, but also we have a phone line that could be 847-342-6493.
Now that number that you're giving out, is that almost like a hotline?
That is a hotline, yes.
Okay, what is that number again?
847-342-6493.
Awesome. Now I want to bring Carla back on with us so we can talk further about this, because one of the things I want to know is, Carla, you went through your doctor's office. Did you seek out other resources to find out the next step?
So I'm one of those people who I always Google everything. They always say don't Google all of this information. But I became almost an expert on it. I just read everything I could about it, so I could have the facts for myself and really understand what was happening to me. And then just trusting my doctor and, you know, what they were saying. I didn't get a second opinion or anything because I trusted my provider.
So when in doubt, a lot of people do go to Dr. Google, and you know, because there's such a wealth of information there. And at some point, when you read certain things, you find hope or you find inspiration or something to anchor in. I think it goes back to our earlier point. You know, our belief system is so important when we're facing adversity. It just simply is. We can choose to believe the worst of things, and we will nurture that, and it'll grow, and it'll fear, and sometimes we'll just throw up our hands. We start giving things away, and you can have this, and you can have that, or you start, on the other hand, finding courage in the midst of it. You find strength. You start saying, you know, but, you know, this isn't going to beat me. You know, we're going to get through this, and it changes everything around you. And that's the part that I find so incredibly, you can't put it into words. I can imagine, you know, I mean, a whole community, cancer, you know, cancer center, treatment centers of America, that's a whole community of everyone that walks through the door understand that they have something in common, that they all have cancer. And yet it's still, I mean, I'm quite sure there are little instances of people that may be sad or, you know, when they first found out, but I'm quite sure you guys do not have a grief pity party session 103 down in room 325A, anything like that. But it seemed to be that when they come together, they do find strength and identity, just being able to say, well, how long, you know, has been your diagnosis or whatever. And I just think it's an amazing thing when you find that type of resilience and people that are seeking to live and not necessarily preparing to die. And I think that's a great thing.
So Sheila, with Cancer Centers of America, I know it's not limited to one particular cancer treatment. So can you elaborate on that? And are you as national? And suppose you live in one state, are you able to go to another state and get treatment if it's not available in your local community?
Great question. Thank you. And I am going to add one more phone number that's more nationwide. That's 844-97-FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T.
Okay, it's 844-97-FIGHT,
F-I-G-H-T.
Okay.
And we have three locations in the state of Illinois, Chicagoland area, the state of Georgia, Atlanta area, and the state of Arizona, the Phoenix area. We also have a travel program. We help patients to those who travel. A lot of our patients do travel to us. So, and many of them are able to take advantage of our travel program so we can help them get to us.
Do you have to have a criteria in order for them to be a part of the program?
For the most part, you know, there's a screening as far as making sure that they are they are able to travel safely. So we want to make sure that they're able to, you know, meet that type of criteria. But for the most part, no, you know, we do, there's government insurances that don't allow you to help with travel. But we take really good care of our patients in many different ways that we possibly can. We have cancer support, as you had said. We also are able to answer, you know, when they call, we're able to have a whole team available to answer questions. We have clinical staff available at all times, 24/7 for our traveling patients. And I'm sorry, I forgot the original question. Sorry.
Is that the correct number? 844-975?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Carla, what is a way individuals can connect with you to purchase your book?
So my website is carlamingo.com. That's Carla with a K.
And they can find your book there to learn more about you?
Yes. I created a new business of handcrafted products for your skin. So I have a line of handcrafted soap, body butter, and candles. And on that website, you'll be able to purchase those products. They're all natural. They're good for you. They're beautiful in your home. My book is on the website as well.
Okay, so Carla, tell us more about your products and why you created them.
Yes. So the book is called Peace, Passion, and Purpose. And my message to people, everyone, is seek peace, find your passion, walk in your purpose. I truly believe that is the key to having a life that you really, really love, right? And so I always say that, and I also have a YouTube channel, by the way, where I do home decor. And so I'm always telling my subscribers, seek peace, find passion, walk in your purpose. So I created these products using Peace, Passion, and Purpose. So I have a line called Peace, a line called Passion, and a line called Purpose.
Awesome.
The Peace line is soap, body butter, and candles that help you relax. Passion is the line that makes you feel fun and playful and excited about life. And Purpose helps you get mental clarity and focus. And so if an individual is needing to have any of those feelings or experiences, I wanted to have products that will evoke that feeling in that person. So that was the thinking behind my design. And now I'm going to launch a men's line coming November 1st.
Oh,
men will be able to get some.
Let me make sure I write that down right now.
Go to www.carlamingo.com. Dr. J is always trying to spruce it up.
Listen, now I'm just so thankful that she thought of the men inside of it, because we all need peace, passion, and purpose in one way or another. But once again, you've done what I think so many must find, that you found yourself in the midst of your adversity. Mm-hmm. And you know, we often say adversity introduces a man or woman to themselves. But after the introduction is what we do after the hello. Mm. And you've done so much after your hello, after the initial diagnosis of, you know, you didn't allow the conversation to dictate to you, but it sounded to me you grabbed a hold of it and you started narrating. You got your own narrative inside of this. And now as a result of it, I mean, who can just throw in the towel when they've seen what you've done and the fact that you continue going and you're giving out more and more? I mean, listen, if I was just a nosy person, I would want to find out how you came to your conclusion. Where did you find this at? And this is amazing. And for those that are watching even right now, even today, a friend of mine said to me this morning, I'm at the doctor's office. I didn't know why. And later on, she said, I was at the doctor's office, had a mammogram done, and now they're telling me to go get an ultrasound. Immediately, what's happening is that her tension level, anxiety is going up because she's dealing with the unknown. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that I would have your testimony tonight, you know, not even being presumptuous, but the fact of the matter is to be able to speak to that individual, you know, who may be at that place of uncertainty, who may have just found out this. It's so important to see someone who's further down the line, who's gone through that part there, and you become a shining example that, listen, this does not have to be, quote unquote, a death sentence. It ought to be a life sentence, a life discovery. And that's what you made it. So I'm just totally blown away. I am, and I commend you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it is. You have such a powerful story. And the fact that you just didn't stop there, you're reaching back and sharing your story. And I want you to stay in studio. We're going to bring before you Sylvia Donovan. And she has a nonprofit called CelebratingLife.org. Hello, Sylvia.
Hey, how you doing, Ral? How you doing, Jay?
How are you?
Good. Yes, move over into the frame so we can see your beautiful face.
Okay, I think I'm moving away from the frame.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
right. Don't rob the world of your beauty, okay?
Yes, Sylvia and I have been friends for many years, and when she told me about her nonprofit, she gave me this big old thick book, and it had so many survivors in it. And I was like flipping through the pages, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Because I had no idea that so many individuals had cancer and survived it. So, Sylvia, tell us a little bit about your nonprofit and what it is that you do?
Well, I think what you've been talking about so far is so important, because that's how I got started. Sheila Hardingham was saying, and as Carla was mentioning, as far as sharing their testimonies, that is crucial. And that's how I got started, because my aunt was given a terminal diagnosis with breast cancer, and I started just talking to people. And what I found out is that more people that I spoke with, everyone had somebody that was dealing with breast cancer. So that's how the book started. I wanted to share these testimonies because the word says we do overcome by our testimonies, and stories like Carla's to show that no matter what's going on with you, when you find somebody who really loves you, they're going to love you from the inside out instead of from the outside in. So things like that are so important. And that's how I got started, to share those testimonies and then to encourage and to decrease the mortality rate among our women, because African American women are over 40 more percent more likely to die from breast cancer than any other ethnic group.
You know, Sylvia, and first of all, it's great seeing you again. And by the way, Dr. Val, I have that fake book from her too. I want you to know I have my own copy of it. But I was totally blown away about it, because, in fact, although I knew of breast cancer, and my mother later would become a breast cancer survivor, what really stood out to me was the effort deliberately that you've done. Your organization continues to sponsor, whether it walks or different events, to raise awareness. And particularly you mentioned about women of color, you know, Black women, and they're disproportionately affecting. And I want to say this, organizations such as yours and others that are springing up are very important. We're all familiar with the national organization, Susan B. Coleman and everything, but her organization was started and it became what it was because her sister was willing to step up and speak out and find another way to frame the way we looked at breast cancer. And so it is with your organization. We have some local organizations out in my area, Palm Beach, where the Black women have formed Sojourner, a healing institute for women that are Black women that have come through breast cancer and surviving. And I think it speaks so much to us. I think it is important for these organizations to be out there. One of the things that really blessed me, and believe it or not, and I've not heard either of these gentlemen speak, is Carla's husband. You know, the fact that he wasn't her husband at the time, he was her fiance. Right. And a lesser man might have said, okay, this is not what I was signing up for.
Right.
You know,
right.
And okay, I can run now because there's nothing there that's binding. But it wasn't that case. And I do have a few friends whose wives are breast cancer survivors. And I'll tell you, and I'm going to give a shout out to one of my dearest friends and colleague, Apostle James Lofton, and his beautiful wife, Lisa Lofton, breast cancer survivor, double mastectomy in the whole nine yards. And I'm telling you, you get so jealous being around them, because I'm telling you, this man worships the ground she walks on. They are just such a couple. And the fact of the matter, I learned from him. I watch him, because there's a love there. You know what he says? Listen here, God spared her to stay here with me. And I'm going to be here with her, you know, until our hearts stop beating. And it blesses me because the fact he shares in her mission, he shares in that information and getting out there. And so organizations such as yours, such as what you're seeing Carla do and others, it's important. It's important that we see this in our community. It's important that we recognize that we can do things to support each other, but even the prevention, you know, of sort of just eating right and doing things that are well. And so I salute you because of the fact it takes not only courage, but it takes vision to do what you're doing. And to change.
Sylvia has a huge vision. Tell us about your walk you do every year. I have my t-shirt on. I'm doing another one. So my walk, I always support, you know, one of the things that we should do is, as nonprofits, is support one another.
That's
we're intertwined with one another. So, you know, when we raise money, it's not just to help just our little corner. We need to expand it, because we do intertwine. cancer survivors deal with domestic violence. Domestic violence victims deal with cancer. So I always sew into other nonprofit organizations because we're all grassroots.
Right.
We're all grassroots. You know, Dr. J, you talk about Susan B. Anthony, how they, you know, they, it's Coleman, and they have this large pool of money. And people gravitate and give to them, but we're here in the trenches working as well because we're more hands-on. We'll go knock on people's doors. And Sylvia, I want you to elaborate on that because this young woman, I love her so much. She would take flowers to the hospital and give them to patients just so they can feel love. So now, you just go ahead and tell the story. Go tell the story. I can't do it like you, but I love your heart.
Thank you. The first thing I have to do is to thank you guys for having programs like this. When you were mentioning in reference to having to go back every time you had a mammogram, I had the same thing happen. And as a result of technology and now having a 3D mammogram, I don't have to do that anymore. So the fact that you have somebody with Cancer Treatment Centers of America on, that's important for us to know the options and know things that are available for us. We've been blessed to have partnerships like the one that we had with the flower company where we could not only take flowers to women that were going through breast cancer, but we partnered with a local hospital, Methodist Charlton Medical Center. And when women went in to get a mammogram, they got flowers. And if women were given bad news, they got flowers. So we were able to help to undergird and encourage. And sometimes just a slight bit of encouragement can help somebody that has some bad news to let them know they're not alone. And I think that's the one thing that we have to as nonprofits, as communities, as churches, is to help people understand they're not alone.
Exactly.
Wow. You know, Sylvia, you know, I follow you from afar. And I, you know, I see different things you do. You've had different fundraisers or awareness events, and they've not always been conventional awareness events. They've been very unconventional. Mm-hmm. And I think that it does take people to think outside of the box. Mm-hmm. There are people that when they get bad news, they withdraw. They go into shells, they go into isolation, they go into depression. And when you're able to do things, like you're saying, finding that gesture, finding those things there to be able to reach them, that is crucial and that is critical. And I think what is most important, especially in our communities, is that it requires a community response. We become that family, that village. You know, the old African proverb says, many hands make the load lighter. And I think that's what we have to find ourselves doing. So I echo Dr. Val. You know, I think that we have to find ways to donate and support and contribute to a lot of our local nonprofits, those that are, especially those that are doing culturally specific things. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's right on the ground. That's ground level. Mm-hmm. It's the difference between being corporate and being private, right?
Right.
And so it's a different thing. It's different between a commercial airline and a private airline. So when you're able to really hit those niches, those places where resources are not so readily available, that answers so much. And once again, I salute you and side of all that you're doing. And, you know, I want to encourage our viewers to go to your website, you know, look up these organizations, you know, contribute to it. People always ask me, what can I do? What can I do? Well, you can support.
Right. You can support. And small amounts help, you know, like, for instance, we had heard about a young lady. She was 30 years old. She was going through her last chemo treatment. Her mother died from breast cancer. She was 4 years old when her mother died. Her mother was 35. So we knew this was a traumatic experience. She was in Little Rock. I was able to get someone to go with me, and we went and we supported her for her last treatment. We brought her flowers and all kinds of little things just to encourage her, gift cards for Walmart. She's also a single mom. So just a small amount can help us with doing a gift card for groceries or for a restaurant while somebody's going through treatment. Every little bit helps, and it helps us to make the journey just a little bit brighter.
And you know, I'm so glad you brought that up, Sylvia. Now, Sylvia lives in Texas, Dallas, Texas, and she supported someone that was in Little Rock.
Little Rock, you know.
We have resources that are given in $5, $10. You know, people are like, well, I don't want to send $20. That's so minimum. If, let's say, 100 people give $20, that goes a long way. But see, the problem is we always want somebody else to do, or thinking somebody else has more resources than them. So I just won't give anything because somebody will probably give them $1,000. Somebody will probably give them $10,000. But when you're in a situation where you need help and you reach out to organizations like ours, and we have to rely on community. I don't know about you, Sylvia, but I know me personally, I give out of my pocket almost every single time because my nonprofit doesn't have the resources coming in to meet the demand. So I have to go into my pocket. And, you know, I don't understand why people don't realize that. You know, they'll listen to you and you know, take the information you give. And then, but they figure, oh, I will never need this. But lo and behold, they'll need an organization like Celebrating Life to step into. They'll need an organization, Cancer Center Treatments of America. Right. I'm going to bring Sheila back in because I want her to talk about some of the examinations that you can do to see if you even have breast cancer, or if you think you have something, maybe she can give some information regarding that. And you can also elaborate on that too as well, Sylvia.
Okay.
Yes, there's so many beautiful people in the
Sheila?
Community. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And you,
yes, you're
you
going have, in and out.
Okay. You both have beautiful organizations, and there's a beautiful community within the cancer world. People just come together. God bless you for what you're doing. And
okay, you seem to be.
Can you hear me okay?
I still hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm sorry, Dr. J, what was the question for the type of surgery?
No, you kind of echo. Can you hear Dr. J?
Yeah, I can. I can hear her. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm sorry.
I wanted to know if there's an examination that you can do. How do you check for to see if there's a knot in your breast? Is it if it's a knot too big or is it too small for you to be concerned about?
Well, anything that you may feel is important to have addressed. Somewhat like Carla said, she felt something, but probably hoped that it was nothing. But anytime you feel anything, which is the importance of you know, breast cancer awareness and self-checking, you want to do the self-check. You also, you know, have to be aware of genetics. Some women have dense breast, which can cause a higher risk than women with regular density. Race and ethnicity, gender, age, all of that plays a role. So the important thing, though, is to do self-examinations, go for your mammograms. You know, with everything with the pandemic, it has just been awful with how people have slowed down their checks, you know, going in for their screenings or their health care. And during the peak of the pandemic, the screenings plummeted at alarming rates. But they are rebounding, but there's still no doubt that the pandemic is having a lasting impact on oncology care, and patients are going undetected because of that. So the importance of getting people in to do their screening is very important.
Absolutely. You know, I guess yearly, you know, I think doctors suggest that women do it around their birthday, you know, definitely a mammogram, but the self-examination should go on periodically anyway. But definitely that mammogram, around your annual physical exam, those type things are important. You know, it's interesting, this past weekend, I attended a dual awareness with both breast cancer and domestic violence. And actually, I took the picture there with the breast cancer awareness for many reasons. Like I said, it's very close to me. My mom was a breast cancer survivor. And I had a friend of mine, high school classmate, who's very dear to me. She was a nurse by profession and just absolutely most gorgeous girl in the world, gorgeous personality. We hadn't seen each other in many years. But when we reconnected, and she never told me that she was dealing with breast cancer, what stage. And her dear friend actually reached out to me without knowing that I had been recently in touch with her, said, I need you to just pray for her. And her name was Cindy, and pray for her and everything, because at that time she was stage 4. And she was talking about the, you know, metastasizing and all those things. And the whole entire time that Cindy and I talked, and I tried to find a way, how do I bring it up to her that I know that what she's going through without betraying someone's confidentiality? And I prayed for her, and I remember praying for her, and she never once said it to me. And unfortunately, when I did hear that she passed, I made it my business to travel back to Alabama for her services. But it allowed us, a group of us, to have conversation around support and what does it mean? And, you know, is it some time to shame or stigma? Or is it some time? Because I do understand that people want to guard their space, and they should. They should guard their space. I have a shirt on that said positive vibes only, right? My oldest son has a shirt that says, and I bought it from Positive Vibes Only. But sometimes people are afraid that they're confident within themselves, but they don't know about people outside of them, so they do keep it in. And I just want to be a part of that creating that atmosphere where people feel like they can come forth. And I need to be able to recommend them to places, support groups and things like that, like some of your organizations, because I think that support is needed and I think it is warranted. And I would even say family members and friends of those individuals need to be able to go through some support classes and just find out how can I be supportive.
And that's very, very true. And that's part of what we do, Dr. J, is we offer a safe place, and we also help, because everyone's psyche is different and how this affects them. So we offer, you know, counseling for not only the patient, but for their family members. This is all about the family as well, and whoever they bring in. You know, there's a lot of young moms who want to know, you know, how they're supposed to share this with their children. And all of that is so important for them to have that type of support, as Sylvia, I'm sure, can contest to that. Okay. Attest to that, sorry. Yeah. And quite honestly, in 2021, there's an estimated of over 281,000 people that will be diagnosed with breast cancer. That's how serious it is, and why we have to do our due diligence to do screening. It's so important.
Well, that is really great, and to have those type of statistics so that we can understand the impact.
I'm going to bring Carla back, but Sheila, I want you to give that website again so that individuals can reach out to you, which is, what was the website, cancercenter.com?
Cancercenter.com.
Okay. Thank you so much. Let us want to hear from Carla. Because Dr. J had brought up a question about why is it that you hide the fact that you have cancer. So I want her to speak on that, because she didn't let people know regarding her either.
Yes, I did not share my diagnosis initially because, one, I'm a very private person. And two, I didn't want people to start putting negative energy into the air and into the universe about me. I didn't want people to feel sorry for me. I didn't want to be pitied. I've always thought of myself as a strong woman. And this would seem to make me look weak, so I thought that I would look weak. Or, oh, poor Carla, poor her. My best friend, ironically, had breast cancer about 15 years before me. And she had started a breast cancer support group at her church. And so when I diagnosed, naturally, she asked me to come over and join the group and speak. And my initial feeling about it was, no, I do not want to come to a support group. I do not want to talk about it. I don't want to be the poster child for breast cancer. Like, no. And then even my mom was like, I want you to come to my church and talk to the church about your experience. And I said, no, mom, I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to be the person everybody's looking at going, oh my goodness. But God had a different plan, because I have spoken at so many places and events and been invited places like this platform tonight. And God is like, oh, but no. So it's just funny how that worked, that, you know, we initially want to hide things, but in order to really heal and grow from it, you have to share it.
Yes,
absolutely. Thank you so much. And what is that website people can go to find out more about you and purchase your book?
Yes, it is www.CarlaMingo.com.
Thank you so much for agreeing to share with us tonight publicly. And I know that your testimony has helped someone tonight, and I thank you for doing that. And we're going to close it out with my dear friend, Sylvia Donovan Hines, my dear friend. So tell us your next step, because you're always doing something. You're always giving, you're always helping survivors. So tell us your next step and what your greatest needs are for your organization.
Well, our next step is getting ready for the holidays. We do our Hope for the Holidays campaign, where we do gifts for people going through treatment. We also adopt single moms and breast cancer survivors during that time. So that's our next campaign. And the main thing that we'll be looking for is we'll adopt the family. So we'll get gifts for the survivor and the children. So gift cards, any type of financial donation. We did receive a huge donation of almost $400,000 worth of skincare products that we've been able to give out to civic organizations that are supporting the community and to oncology centers throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So that's our next set of effort.
And that's wonderful that you were given that the cosmetics and stuff, because during that time when people are going through, they're not feeling beautiful and they don't even feel like going to the store buying something. But if somebody gives them a gift bag, first of all, they're happy that they got a gift. Second of all, they look in there and be like, oh, let me do something. So I applaud you on that, which brings me to the fact that nothing is too little or too small. Right. You may not have cash, but you may have a business where you have all this product in a warehouse, donated to an organization, is tax deductible. You can, you know, give it to an organization so that it can get in the right hands, especially when you're working with grassroots organizations that literally knock on the doors and go to the hospitals and reach out to individuals to find out who needs help. This is what grassroots organizations do, and I applaud you for the work that you're doing in the community. And as I said, you're located in Dallas, Texas.
Yes, and in the Dallas, Texas area. But we do network and do things across the country. And as this is both Domestic Violence and Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I cannot stress the importance of collaboration, because you find people that fit in both categories.
Yes.
Domestic violence and the breast cancer survivors. So I thank you, because you've always been in that vein of let's support each other. So I really do appreciate that.
Absolutely. The Bible says one could chase 1,000, two could send 10,000 to fly. Right. There's power in numbers. Dr. J, you have any closeouts for us today? Thank you so much, Sylvia. I keep wanting to say Dr. Donovan.
Maybe one day. I want to be
like you.
Sounds great to me. Well, this has been a tremendous show tonight. I am very grateful for our guests that have been here. It stands out with me because it's so heartfelt. And I'm moved by their courage, their faith, their tenacity, their resilience. And it is what makes this time so worth it. I believe in a place called hope. I really do. And in organizations such as these and individuals such as our guests, they really kind of highlight this sense of hope. And I am very much, I'm indebted. I have literally tried to wear pink and purple alternate days, and I had to go to the cleaners because I don't have enough pink and purple, right? Okay, but I do take a day to wear pink. Yesterday was my pink day, and today isn't my purple day. Thursday will be my purple day, and I do so. And I do have one suit that has pinstripes with pink and purple. Don't ask me about how I got like that, but that's because I like to support both causes, because yes, it's not one against the other, it's one and the other, and I appreciate it. So thank you so very much. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do.
Thank you. Again, thank you all for joining another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night and God bless.
Thank you.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night.